This year is the 75th anniversary of John James Audubon Museum's opening to the public. I'd like you to describe for me, Tom, the work of Susan Tolles in getting the park going.
She was a major contributor to getting it rolled. She was the power behind it. She was a fundraiser. She spoke eloquently to Congress and Senate to get funds. She pushed it through all of the organizations that she established. She started collecting for a museum in 1908. She was librarian for 44 years, and she was able to, from that base, able to establish several committees and that type of thing to get the ball rolling.
Describe the museum.
John James Audubon Museum is built in John James Audubon State Park. The building is French provincial, based on John's heritage of being French. It's got the largest collection of Audubon artifacts of any museum in the world. It's a beautiful museum. It's on about 700, well, it's going to be close to 1,400 acres shortly, but right now it's 700 acres of property. The park itself was originally built by the federal government as a CCC project to put people to work. And it was not really designed to be a place for a museum, but that came along later. The museum originally was scheduled to go in down along the riverfront in what they call Audubon Mill Park. Audubon had built a steam mill in the park, and that was Susan's goal, was to build a museum inside that building. In 1913, that building burned down, so then she started thinking about building a new building there. But when this park went in, the question came up, why can't we put a museum in the park? And they did. And the government said, sure, we'll finance that, after they heard her speak. So she was the type of person that was just a big-time organizer. She loved people. She doesn't like to be called a historian, but she was. She established the King's Daughters way back in 1898. That was a group that did social services here in Henderson. In 1903, she became president of the Civic Improvement Society, which did work on parks and the land down around the riverfront. She became one of the founders of the Daughters of the American Revolution here in Henderson. She became librarian in 1904 and held that position for 45 years. And then she worked another 5 years as emeritus. In 1922, she organized the Historical Society. And in 1929, she organized the Transylvania Society, which is a group of people that trace their lineage back to the original nine people who surveyed out the land and part of the Transylvania Company, which is a land company that bought out most of Kentucky and Tennessee. Later on, they had it all nullified, but they ended up with about 200,000 acres, and Henderson was part of that. And they came in and laid out the town. Her family goes back to those original guys, and she started a society for the Transylvanians. She did the Women's Club. She was involved in the Girl Scouts. She had her fingers in everything.
The exhibit in the museum honoring Susan Tolles, it includes photographs and, I imagine, clippings and what else?
It has three panels. First panel would be for her early life. Her dreams, the things that I just told you basically were on this panel.
Mm-hmm.
The second panel was more for the write-in campaign and the people that she had and how she managed to get the Senate and House to pass a bill, or two bills actually, to have funds to build this park. She had a lot of people working with her. One of the biggest and hardest working person was Oscar Letcher. He was an attorney here. He handled almost all of the legal work. She also had people like Lillian Thixton and some other ladies that were her right-hand people. There were thousands of letters that would go out. She would write letters to duck hunting groups, bird watchers, Audubon lovers, artists, anybody she found in any state that was remotely interested in nature, birds, and or in Audubon. So every Audubon society in the United States got a letter, and the letter was requesting them to have their members send letters to their congressmen to push this thing so we can get the federal funds for this park.
It is a gem of a park with a lot of incredible Audubon works. Was he actually painting when he lived in Henderson? And it was a short part of his life, wasn't it? It wasn't a long period of time that he lived there.
Well, he lived here for 9.5 years, and that was longer than he ever stayed in one place.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of painting here. In fact, he had a collection of about 200 or 300 pictures that got destroyed by rats.
Mm.
And he had stored them in a box and went off on a trip. And when he came back, so he had to repaint all those. But he painted constantly. He didn't really run his store here in town. He had a young man that ran the store for him and business partners and that type of thing. And he went out and shot birds and painted them. So
what kind of store did he have?
He had a dry goods store. He would sell anything that anybody needed, you know, barrels of nails, dry cloth, salt, crackers, and whatever people needed, farming tools. He was kind of like the Walmart of his day. He had two stores. He had one here and he had one in Shawneetown. Within 3 years of moving here, he was the third wealthiest person in town. He did a lot of buying and selling of land also. And that's where he got most of his money.
Did he keep that money or did he lose that money?
He lost all that money. He had a business partner, Thomas Bakewell. It was his wife's younger brother was his business partner. And this young man was thrilled about steam engines. He had deposited a little bit of money into the business, and so he was a partner. He talked John into building a steamboat. And he talked John into building the steam mill, that mill that I was telling you about down on Audubon Mill Park. These things never really took off. The steamboat did okay, but the steam mill was always full of problems. And it was actually there's about two or three years drought, so there was no grain for the mill. The Panic of 1812 had happened a while before, so money was drying up, banks were folding. His business partner Thomas decided at a perfect time to leave, took his part of the money and left, and about 6 months later, Audubon had to file bankruptcy. He sold everything he had. It was actually harder on his wife. She was from a wealthy family. She had family heirlooms from England, and she lost all that. She lost everything. They had an auction, and when he walked out, all he had was two rifles, or a rifle and a shotgun, the clothes on his back, and his paintings. Nobody would buy his paintings. They took the tablecloths off the tables. They took the curtains off the walls. They took everything. He had to walk to Louisville just to go to debtor's prison. He was in prison for about, 2 or 3 weeks. And Lucy's parents found out about it and got him out, showed him how to do a bankruptcy. He never came back to Henderson. He came through one time, but he sent his little friend of his into town to get his hound dog. Says, I left my hound dog here. Go get him.
Oh.
He didn't want to set foot in Henderson anymore. This was his happy time and his saddest times here in Henderson.
Wow.
He had three children here. He had one in Louisville before he moved here, and he had three children here. And then, of course, when all this was happening, when John Audubon was having all these problems, he also lost two of his daughters. Little Lucy was 4, and she died from we don't know what. And the little Rosa was like about 4 or 5 months, and she died. So a lot of bad things were happening to him right about that time. So it took him about 4 or 5 years to make the decision to just stop whatever he's doing and just paint for a living. And that's what he did. Susan Tolles knew all this.
Yeah.
she could tell the story a lot better than I just did. So.
Well, how did you get involved in this history work?
Well, when I retired, I was kind of looking for things to do. I was a tour guide on the, I don't know if you're familiar with the LST 325 Memorial Ship over in Evansville. It's a fairly large ship that was used in World War II. It still operates. It still goes out on cruises. And I was involved in that, but that got to be 7 days a week, 8 or 9 hours a day. So I quit that, and it was about a week later I was going by Audubon Park, and I thought, you know, I used to swim in this park. This may be a good place for my grandson to come swim. And I went in and looked, and there was no swimming hole anymore. There's no place to swim, but I stopped by and just casually mentioned, do you guys use volunteers? And they said, sure. They sent me up to see the naturalist, and I was talking to her for about 10 minutes and had decided to come in and fill bird feeders and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the curator, Mr. Alan Garrett, came down and introduced himself to me and asked me if I'd ever done any research. I said, never, not a lick. And he said, well, we're doing a project. It's the Everyday People Project. It's a Black History Project for the Henderson area. And we're starting that, and we could sure use some help. So I jumped in with him, and from there, things blossomed into other areas.